Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. This is Cecilia with Smile Through Evil. Let's talk. Well, I don't know if my counterpart, Minister Sheila, will be available this morning, but we will see. We're going to talk about something that's near and dear to many of our hearts, and you may say, well, not really to me, but considering that every nation has some type of leader, whether it's a king or queen or religious leader or CEO or president or whatever title they may give them. We're going to talk about that. So let's begin with prayer. Father God, we glorify you. We magnify you, God. We thank you for another opportunity to serve you, to love you, to be used by you, to be led by you, to be known by others in this world based off of our relationship with you and our posture of servitude, posture of heirship, our posture of sons and daughters, our posture of those that you've given the power and authority through the name of Jesus, our posture as being and existing, as walking, living epistles read of man that says, not only does Jesus say he loves us, he died for us, sacrificed his life for us, he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, he went to the Father and asked him not to leave us without the Comforter, we're being led by the Holy Spirit of God as we yield and submit to his leading, to his voice. Thank you, Father God, for teaching us to be grateful, for teaching us to be submitted, for teaching us, God, to make you and have you and require you to be number one in our lives. Teach us not to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge you. Thank you, God, that you've taught us so much and you're yet teaching us so much. Wonderful God, mighty God, one and true and only living Savior, you are God, and we love you, God, and if we can love you more, teach us how to love one another, teach us that our leaders how to be leaders, and teach us that need to be led, how to be led. Teach us women how to be submitted and that we wouldn't be those of a Jezebel spirit, but we would be those that knows how to be Deborah when it's time to be Deborah, knows how to be Esther when it's time to be Esther, but also knows how to be submitted when it's time to be submitted. God, thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Father God, thank you for all of the things that you, for all of the things that you have done for us and that you're yet doing, meaning that it's manifesting daily. Thank you, Father God. We glorify you and we magnify you. We thank you for teaching us to pray and to pray in the Holy Ghost so that we can be those that would pray for the church to be edified, the church to be ministered to, and so that we ourselves can be encouraged through the strengthening of your word and through the strengthening of your Holy Spirit. God, a songwriter wrote a song. Whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. And God, whatever we're doing in this season, we need to make sure that we're not doing it without you. Many times, God, we're asking you, gimme, 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 do, do, do. I want, I want, I want. I need, I need, I need. But God, your word tells us, for the Father seeketh such to worship him, for they must worship you in spirit and in truth. Cause us to be true worshipers of you, God. Your word tells us to seek you early while you can be found. Your word tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Help us, God, to seek you first and not the things. A songwriter wrote a song that said, let us go after the giver and not the giving. Let us go after the healer and not the healing. God, we need to go after you to be a blessing and not to just be blessed. God, we need to be people that are not just looking for people to submit to us, but God, to be those that are submitted to you. Help us, God, to be grateful, to be thankful. God, obliterate and annihilate the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life that's trying to pull so many from you, God, so many from your will, so many from your way. Teach us, God, how not to be in your way, but how to be in the way of the Lord, meaning that we're doing things your way, according to your will, according to your way, because we seek in you with our whole heart for your instructions. And God, when we hear your instructions, it's automatic, even more automatic than us taking our daily breaths. God, cause us to spend time with you on purpose and with purpose. Cause us to submit to you, God, just as women, how to be submitted to our husbands. Teach the men how to be leaders. Teach the presidents how to be presidents. Teach the kings and the queens how to be kings and queens. God, obliterate and annihilate every insecurity and every lack of self-esteem that will cause us not to have our confidence and assurance and trust in you. We thank you for all that you've done and that you're going to do. We thank you that Apostle Andrew Thomas is healed from our head to our toe, from the inside out. We thank you for the unity that you're going to bring to the very marriages and relationships and corporations and organizations and countries and nations, that we will be united in you, God. Many are united in the wrong things, but God, we need to be united in you. Help us not to be bamboozled and defeated and deceived, because there's many hearts that have waxed cold. There are many that are taking the symbolisms of God, whether it's the cross or the blood of Jesus, or the various sacraments, God, and using them in unsanctified ways, the same way Eli's son and so many other people in the Bible, they did things against the things of God that are to be holy, those things that are going to be things that will mislead them, God. Cause us not to handle the things of God in ways that are so disrespectful. Cause us to learn how to respect our elders again. Cause us to learn how to pray for our sons and our daughters and our siblings and our moms and our dads and grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and so on, God. Teach us how to pray for one another. Those God-given prayers of protection, of healing and wholeness, of blessings. God, thank you. I thank you for your favor, favor with the leaders, favor with the hearts of the kings. Thank you for the success on this week, God, because it will all be afforded to you. Because whatever I'm doing, God, I can't do it without you. In the Bible, when they were going to war and they went to Deborah because they wanted her to go with them, God, she wouldn't go without you, and many wouldn't go without her. when the apostles were following, disciples were following Jesus, God. They followed him because they knew that he was the Savior in a sense of knowing that he was Jesus, but not remembering what was already foretold on the scrolls. Teach us, God, that so many times we're walking around following people and things blindly instead of seeking your face. Teach us how to be parents, parents of the young, parents of the old, parents of the feeble, parents of the bold. Teach us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to share a few scriptures this morning. So some ministry advice if you have time to look that up. And it has 50 Bible verses on it. And I'm going to start with the first one. And it talks about how leaders have to be able to delegate. Exodus 18 and 21. But select capable men from all of the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as the officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Many people want to delegate, but not always do they want to delegate to trustworthy men. A lot of times they want to delegate to people that they can manipulate and control. But that's not what the Bible says. Follow the Lord's leading. And the scripture says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. That's Psalms 32 and 8. So God already lets us know he will help us to prioritize what needs to be done. Because we're going to have an intimate relationship with God. So that means we have to pray with an A, not with an E. That means we have to pray to God, ask God how to do what we do, when we do it, and even why we do it. It says, leaders seek delight in the Lord. Psalms 37, 3 and 4 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pastures. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Many people are getting the desires of their heart out of time because of the selfish nature of mankind, or the immaturity of mankind, or just the lack of planning. And God has to teach us, but we have to trust him and delight in him so that we'll know that it's about the timing of God. It's about being a blessing for God. It's not about trying to keep up with the Joneses, which so many people want to be able to say, I got. And they forget that so many people, not the ones that are have things because of various reasons, but many of people have what they have today because it took them time to get there. They didn't get there overnight. And some did get there overnight via various things that they did, or that what they were blessed with. But the reality of everything is, to be successful, you've got to trust in the Lord and delight yourself in the Lord and his ways. And then this ministry advice also talks about finding a way to be stable and still. Psalms 37 and 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. So, yes, there will be people out here doing wicked things. And, yes, sometimes it may look like they're getting ahead. But we have to be patient, because it says wait patiently on the Lord, to be still before the Lord. That is easy as it sounds, because we live in an instant, a microwave, and even quicker than the microwave, a warp time mentality where it's me, 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 now, now, now. We've got to learn to be patient again. We've got to learn to trust in God again. We got to learn how to be stable as we wait and trust on God and in God. We got to learn how to be content. True leadership means contentment. God can bless you with 1,000 and he will still expect you to be patient while you're at 1, while you're at 100, while you're at 200, and so on and so on and so on. Let's learn how to be patient. Psalms 37:16-17 says, better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. To be content, to be righteous, to trust God, to honor God. It also talks about how our heart has to be righteous. Many people have problems with people for no reason. Many people have problems with people because of lies. Many people have problems with people because of them just not taking time to get to know them. Many people have problems with people just because they're selfish and they want it to be their ways. Many people have problems with people just because they want the person to do what they want them to do, how they want them to do it, when they want them to do it. Many have problems with people just because they want the person to be like them, act like them, talk like them. They want them to be little mini-me's. There are people that have problems with people because of their skin color. Get that, like someone decided what their skin color was going to be when they were born. Some people have problems with people because of their educational background. Some people have problems with people because of a past hurt or something that someone told them that might not even be the truth. Psalms 37:30-31, the mouth of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just. The law of their God is in their hearts, and their feet do not slip. It says their feet do not slip. Matthew 15:18 says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Yeah, you might say, well, it didn't come out my mouth, but did you conceive it in your heart? Did you write it down? Did you think it? What's the purpose behind what you're doing and what you're saying? Leaders have integrity that comes from within. That's right, the condition of the heart. It's not about what you're saying. It's not about what people are seeing. But what's truly in your heart? Psalm 78:72. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands he led them. Is that your testimony? Is that what people are saying about you? Are they saying that you're integral? Leaders are integral to their nation. Leaders protect not only themselves from corruption, but they protect themselves from manipulation of other people because they're before God. They're seeking God about what to do, about what to say, because they're not trying to act like they know so much. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Proverbs 11:14 says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. So it's okay to get godly advisors. But even when they're advising you, make sure you're praying so that what you're being told lines up with the Word of God. Just because you find someone that agrees with you, moms and fathers, we're guilty of it all the time. Instead of, husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, etc. Instead of telling people the truth or just staying out of it, we allow our children, we allow our sons, our daughters, our husbands, our wives to manipulate us because we'll know that they're not telling us the truth. But it's appeasing our flesh and what we really want to do anyway. And sometimes we don't know. But if we were to pray, God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob will reveal and show us that that person needs to review and get to the root cause of what's causing them to have that unhealthy, compromising spirit. Proverbs 16 and 12. Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. Proverbs 22 and 29. Do you see someone killed in their work? They will serve before kings, and they will not serve before officials of low rank. If you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? That's Proverbs 24 and 10. Are you able to lead even in the midst of trouble? Or are you only that leader that's there and strong and leading when everything is going right? Leaders pay attention to their resources. They pay attention to detail. They pay attention to things, not just money, but the volunteers, the facilities, the systems, the house. Is the house out of order? Well, what do you need to do to get the house in order? Is the headship out of order? Is it Christ, the husband, the wife, and then the children? Are the children running everything? Are the children manipulating everything? I mean, what's really going on? Is Christ even in it? Proverbs 27, 23, and 24. Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. Why? Because it's your responsibility to pay attention to it. People have grown up to be adults because they fed themselves, they exercised, and different things like that. But guess what? When they were babies, they depended on someone else to feed them. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been healthy, and they wouldn't have been able to grow up. Poor leadership is demoralizing. Proverbs 29 and 2. When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. How many people are groaning about your leadership? Is God groaning about leadership? I ask that God would not groan. I ask that God would be happy and blessed by what we all do. Good leadership offers stability. By justice, a king gives a country stability, but those who are greedy for bribes tear it down. Proverbs 29 and 4. Leaders always put their trust in God. Are we trusting in and manipulating to get what we want, or are we trusting in God? Is it in what we can do, or is it in what God can do? Isaiah 41 and 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Leaders also know their limitations. Many of us have went out, done things, bought things, got connected to things that we didn't ask God for his wisdom and the timing and what it would take to invest to get what we want. And it's not good, because we have to recognize our limitations and be willing to stay within those limitations. If you have a $10,000 budget, why are you out there buying a $1 million car? It won't work. If you are out there and you have a high school education and no trade and things of that, but now you're out here trying to put on a persona as though you're this inventor of, say, this particular engine, when you know your specialty is cooking, when you may know your specialty is hospitality, what are your limitations and how do you connect with people so that you can do what you want to do by knowing what your limits are and being able to link up with people that once you all get together, you're able to break through those limits because you all came together because the person that needed to build the engine went and got someone that knows how to build the engine, and now you've created a company together because one of you is going to make sure the people eat because you're the chef at the company feeding the people to make sure that they're properly nourished, and now you've connected with a physical therapist and a gymnast and a health coach and the various people that can make it where that you have this hybrid of a company that's able to do many things. Why? Because you're leveraging the expertise of others because everyone knows what their limits are. The person that can't cook isn't the one that's in the kitchen trying to prepare the food for employees, and the one that can cook isn't the one that's out there trying to put the engine together. Leaders recognize their limitations. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We must face the fact that we need God's wisdom. For if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, and God will give it to you liberally, unbraided. Let's not act like we can do it on our own. We need the wisdom of God. God establishes who will be the leaders. Jeremiah 1-5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appoint you as a prophet to the nations. One of the biggest mistakes, like we said, is someone struggling to try to go to the left when they're supposed to be going to the right. And they end up going around in circles until they allow God to lead them. A leader has an intimate relationship with God. Many of us have intimate relationships with people and things, but we forget. Well, Jeremiah 33:3 reminded us, call to me and I will answer you, and unsearchable things you do not know. This is us knowing as a leader that we have to make God number one. We have to make prayer and intercession number one. We have to make sure that we give God all of the glory for the test that we pass, the papers that we were successful in, the journeys that we've been on that have been successful. We have to make sure that we are faithful in giving God all the glory and all the praise. And we have to be just. We have to be merciful. We have to be humble. We have to walk in humility. Do you know how to walk in humility, not in a sense of being humiliated, but walking in it in the sense of being humble? 2:7-12 says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them to do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Matthew 20:26. Not so with you. Instead, whosoever wants to become great among you, you must be your servant. Be a wise leader. Matthew 24:45-47. Who then is the faithful and wise servant who the master has put in charge of the servants in his household? That's what leaders do. That's what supervisors do. That's what managers do. We're serving because God has allowed us to be put in charge. Who in the wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of the servants of his household, and give them their food at the proper time. I will be good for the servant. No, it says it will be good for the servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Is your motive and your incentive to do right because you're plugged into God and you want to please him? You're not slacking off when you think God's not looking or your boss isn't looking. You're not being manipulative by trying to make other people look bad so that you can look good. You're not backstabbing people and putting your mouth on people. Are you really blessing people? Are you really being a blessing to people? Are you really being supportive? What is the intent in your heart? What is the motives? Are you want to be in leadership just so you can be seen, so that you can be celebrated? Or are you really being put in leadership because God's put you there? Or are you putting yourself there through various demonic and wicked things? Well, I pray not. Leadership is all about service. Mark 10:42-45. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Who is that many? That's me, you, and people we don't even know. We have to also remember that when we meet our limitations, we serve a God that has no limits. Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Luke 18:27. See, we serve a limitless God. So let's go to him for wisdom. Let's go to him for understanding. Let's go to him for the authority and the ability to influence and the promotions and the growth and the things that he gives us in order for us to be. He lived in an epistle read of man that said that Jesus is Lord and that God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit are the Trinity. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. Don't forget about that. That's reciprocity. Luke 12:48. It says, one doesn't grow as a leader by chasing power. That's what we talked about earlier. Many people are chasing power. They're doing all manner of wickedness and evil to be seen, to be known. People call them brown nosers. They call them different things. Are you willing to do and behave the way God wants you to, even when it doesn't agree with what man wants you to do? You're not doing things to get attention. You're not doing things to get this or to get that. You know how they say the songwriter with a smile in your face all the time, trying to take your place? Why? God has a place for each and one of us. We don't have to try to take the place that someone else has, but we can walk in that place that God has for us. Luke 22:26. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. He must become greater, and I must become less. That's right. God has to increase, and we need to decrease. John 13:13-17. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, and you also should wash one another's feet, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Why do people always try to look greater than their leaders? Why do people always try to show what they know that their leaders don't know? You know, that's not God. But when we humble ourselves and we do things to support our leaders, to encourage our leaders, to even help them get promoted, then God will give them the ability not only to trust us, but to empower us to do more. That's what happens with us with God. The more we watch over others and the more we do things and do right by others, then God does right by us. Yes, 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 I hear you. I know many are getting up there the other way. But that's not the God way. That's not the Christ way. I'm not saying it's not being done, as manipulation and treading on people and walking all over people and doing the various wicked things. People aren't getting ahead. But I'm saying, if you do it God's way, not only will it be blessed, but you won't have to worry about keep trying to do it your way and to keep trying to manipulate and have people that manipulate with you, but you'll have God who has the heart of the king in his hand, and he'll be able to take care of all of those insecurities because he's going to teach us how to be leaders that lead with diligence. He's going to give us the stamina that we need in order to not get weary in well-doing, but in the proper time, he'll cause us to reap the harvest if we don't give up. That's Galatians 6 and 9. God's going to equip us to equip the people to become mature. Ephesians 4, 11 and 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for the works of the service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's right. There's some teachers out here. There's a organizational chart that brings us into harmony. I'm this and you're this all the time. But what is it in the body that God wants? He wants the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers and the ushers and the psalmists and the gatekeepers. He wants us all working together in unity, all to reach the unity and the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Maturity is about unity. Are you tearing down the relationships? Is your focus to tear down? Or is your focus to unite in Christ-like qualities? I would challenge each and every one of us to look at our hearts and our motives to see what we're doing to promote unity, to bring unity, to encourage unity in God, in the right things. Yes, there are people uniting in the wicked things, but I'm talking about the God, Christ-like things. United in the faith and the knowledge of Christ Jesus. United in the faith and the knowledge of God's love. Let's be united in unity. Let's be united in love. Let's support our leaders. Let's be good leaders. Let's be integral. Let's love unconditionally. Let's be examples of love. Let's be examples of trust. Let's be examples of supporting one another. Let's be examples of doing things that can be better and do better. Let's be examples of unconditional love. No matter what people do or say, you're able to say, but God told me to do this, but God told me to do that, or go here and go there, and I did it. I did it because I love being submitted to God, yielded to God. I love obeying God. I love being transformed into the very image of God. I love being reconciled and restored back unto God. I have a leader-follower relationship. I'm a servant, but yet I'm a leader. I'm a mother, or you're a son, but yet you're someone's child. You're a sister or a brother, a true sister or a brother that looks out for their sisters and brothers, that prays for them. We're not people that are sabotaging one another. We're not people that are using one another and manipulating one another, but we're people that love one another. We're people that support one another. We're people that encourage one another. We're people that are blessings to one another. We're people that even support people that we don't know because God said so. Are you feeding God's sheep? Are you going for the one that's lost? Are you still so busy looking at what the wicked is doing, you forgot to look at what the righteous are doing? The righteous that are living by faith. The righteous that are seeking God with their whole heart and seeking Him early. The righteous that are praying for you. The righteous that are walking in goodness and mercy. The righteous that are walking in forgiveness. The righteous that are celebrating one another. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to celebrate when you're down and out. But when you get to a place of humility and you get to a place of humbleness, you will celebrate your brothers and sisters because you realize it's not about being next in line, but you serve the same God. And God has no respect to person. So as God teaches us how to be integral leaders, He's also teaching us how to be humble leaders. He's teaching us how to be servants. He's even teaching us how to, when we take a punch, that we don't have to necessarily turn around and punch people back, but we can love the H-E-double-L out of them. Yes, sometimes we do have to put up the good fight of faith. Yes, sometimes we do have to practice defense and offense. But sometimes the best arsenal, sometimes the best wardrobe that you could put on, that whole armor of God, is love. Some people will not be able to handle you just because of the love in you. It's easy nowadays to speak and say negative things. We see it happening from the top to the bottom to the top, from the left to the right, front to the back. But can you love that which appears to be unlovable? Can you really bless those that curse you? Can you really do good to those that hate you? Can you really pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you? Can you? Really? Well, some of us have been tested, are being tested, and will be tested. But guess what? Many may fall at your left hand or your right, but it won't come nigh you. Why? Because Psalms 91 says it, and it's God's word, and it shall not return unto you. Void. Why? Because it's not going to return unto him. Void. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, thou shalt condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That's God's word. His promises. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. That's God's promises. That's all I have on today. We're going to see what Minister Sheila has for us, if she's just going to pray us out. We'll have encouraging words, and I'll give our announcements for the week. So let's check in with Minister Sheila. Minister Sheila, what do you have for us today?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm going to start off and say thank you, thank you, thank you, Thank you, God, for another day that you have blessed us to be here. I also want to apologize for being late to the service, but at work need to get situated, and to apologize if any background noise come in while I'm talking, to excuse me and forgive me, but I cannot refuse any time, any moment when I can thank the Lord, when I have him to thank for another day, when I can get in on a message that is from him through us to the people that is listening, however, that you can listen. But I have to thank him and thank him, because if it wasn't for him, we would not be here today. I was listening to your message, and I got to say, it was so awesome. Apostle Alexis, I mean, it was so awesome. It is so up to date. It is so more up to date. How the people you can think is your best friend can be your homie, your right hand, and all of that. How they can turn their back on you. How they can stab you up because you might not say or do as they say. It will turn against you. Some people have you against others just because they don't like you. Just because they don't like the way they look or how they talk or the way that they do things. The devil helps people so corrupt, so unorganized, that today, before I approach people, or people approach me, I just said, Lord, bless him or her and bless me, so that people today can just walk up on you and try to throw the evilness on you. You never know who the devil can fit towards you. They would even use a family member, so-called friend, your job. However, is that I just pray for each and every one that I see, I don't see, I ride past. Lord, bless us to remove all this devilishment, all this evil, frustration, this backstabbing. It's just so more today as it was yesterday. The kids, the children, the way they talk and treat their parents because of a law of man have made. It's that your children, so many, is running the household. It's like the parents, it's the children. Because you can't discipline them. You can't punish them because these days, some words don't always put the child in the corner. Sometimes you still really need to beat them, hit them. They just, as the Lord said, spare the rod for the child. Now, if you touch a child, the child can go free, but you can go to a lockup. I just pray and I just thank the Lord for the family, bloodline, and spiritual that he has blessed me to be with, to be around, and the ones that approaches me, that if all the evil that they might have had is wiped away before they approach me. They is just, if you don't understand, I have God in your life. You need to. That's one, no, two men in life you should never be without. That's God, our Father, and His Son. His Son, our big brother, as I call him, Christ Lord Jesus. I just ask and I just pray that the Lord bless and turn the world around. Due to the new laws, the government, what they call lawmaker, is not trying to bless us all. It's just trying to bless to run their way. But I want to thank you, Prophet Elect, for you guys, for that message for today was so much needed and so much real. And as they say, you dropped the ball on us. because it was so much needed. And I just want to thank the Lord for all my family of blood, Apostle Sandra Thomas, the Hill Herd. Keep on walking in the word in the name of the Lord. My sister, Prophetess Elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, to be more and more knowledgeable every time she speaks. It's more knowledge that I'm learning, that I need. And I know a lot of you should listen and understand and to realize she is the woman to bring the word and to bring this message that we appreciate. And I thank Pastor Troy Thomas for another man of words, of wisdom, and knowledge, and more powerful. Prophet Antoine Thomas is another man with wisdom of words and worshiping and to understand. And another sister, Sylvia Kaiser White, that has us to open up into a joy, into worship, and to understand more. Minister Brandon Kaiser, son of Prophet Apostle Elect, excuse me, Cecilia Kaiser, man, another young man of knowledge and wisdom. I just want to thank you, Lord, for all. Thank you for the message. Thank you, God, for life. And I just want to thank you and thank you for to bless us all and to understand. Without God, you ain't got nothing. Thank you. Amen. Back into your hands, Apostle Elect, Sister Elijah.
Amen. Thank you, everyone, for your prayers and support for our program today. Don't forget about our program on tomorrow, which is Monday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it is Iron Sharpening Iron with Minister Sheila and Minister Sylvia. So we thank God for them and their faithfulness on Monday nights and Minister Sheila on every Sunday morning, and also Elder Kathy Kendall with God Still Heals or Let's Talk, depending on what God gives her for Friday nights at 9 Central Standard Time, that's p.m., and 10 Eastern Standard Time. So Central Standard Time is 9 p.m., and Eastern Standard Time on Friday night is 10 p.m., so that's with Elder Kathy Kendall. So I thank you all once again for all of your God-given prayers for Apostle Sandra Thomas, for Minister Sheila, for Minister Brandon, and for everyone else that Minister Sheila has mentioned. We thank God for even Dr. Wright, who spoke on this past Monday. Awesome message. So I just thank God for his people. And as Minister Sheila says, just thank God, thank God, and thank God again. Father God, I thank you for Minister Sheila. I ask you to bless her coming in and bless her going out. God, I ask you to send your ministering angels to minister to her and to encourage her. God, I ask you to open doors that no man can open and shut doors that no man can shut. And God, that you will give her the ability to know without a doubt in her mind and her total being that not only are you with her, God, but everything that you allow, that when she accepts it, she's saying, I know that you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Bless her, God. Bless her to be a blessing. Bless her to not only be an encouragement to others, God, but to be a light that's sitting on the top of the hill. So be blessed in all that you do and say. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And don't forget our foundational scriptures. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And don't forget, leaders are integral, leaders are honest, but most of all, leaders are sent by God and obey God. Bye-bye.